like to welcome Pastor Ben this morning. Come on, church, let's give a big clap offering to God this morning. And as Pastor Ben comes up,
morning. What a wonderful presence of God this morning. Different type of worship, but it's nice to be still in the presence of God. Amen. I'm just touched. The Holy Spirit touches you in different ways. Some of you scream, some of you jump, some of you cry. I just cry. It's easy for me. Yeah, I'm just a big soft-hearted guy. Welcome this morning. How's everybody this morning? Turn around to your neighbor and say, hey, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord to worship and to praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you for your wonderful presence in us and your anointing that is over us this morning. Papa God, I thank you that you helped me to deliver this message this morning. Lord, to be so practical about it that your people understand your kingdom. The kingdom that you, Jesus, when you said the kingdom of God is here. Father, I thank you, God. Hide me as I've always said, that they will not see me, but they will hear your voice and understand your word. I pray that you said, let him who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And I just pray, God, that your people's hearts are open. Father God, as they're not just here with the ears, but Lord, with their hearts, I pray that the subconscious mind, which is the heart, will receive and store your word, that we become practical people, Father God. We become people that are doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. There are many who have heard and had scriptures and sermons and lots of people and knowledge about the word. But Father, there is a lack of application in our lives. I pray, Father, that Lord, these people here this morning, our church, Father, will become church that is a church that applies the kingdom principles. Lord, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, as we speak about you, I pray that you, Lord, empower your people this morning. Those that are hungry and passionate for the gifts. Those who are hungry and passionate for the rivers that are flowing, oh God. I pray that they will receive it this morning. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. Yeshua's mighty name. I pray everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is the third part of our message, receiving the new nature, which is the new nature of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen? I haven't stopped because I believe that we truly need to understand the third person in the Trinity. No God, we know Jesus, but guess who's operating and working right now in you? Holy Spirit. And like I said before, the Holy Spirit is not a mist or a thing or some smoke or some wind. The Holy Ghost is a person. Has feelings, as senses, as a mind, as can see spiritually. Everything that you do physically, the Holy Ghost does it spiritually. That's why I need you to really focus on him, because he is the one that is now operating. He's the most important person on earth today. Hallelujah. Jesus, when he came, and I keep saying that to you every time, because I'm talking about the Holy Ghost in the kingdom perspective, not a religious perspective. Amen? Jesus never came to start a religion or give us a religion. He came to give us back what we lost. Amen? But understand that. He came to give us back what we lost. We lost the kingdom. Through sin, what is sin? Well, the Hebrew translation for sin is simply rebellion. rebelling against God. Hallelujah. Becoming independent from God. So we lost the kingdom by losing the Holy Spirit. How do we get the kingdom back? Well, it's simple. By getting the Holy Ghost back. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. God's kingdom isn't about eating and drinking. It's about pleasing God, righteousness, walking blameless before Him, holy before Him. Hallelujah. About living in peace with your fellow man, your neighbor, your boss, the government. It's all about that. Your family. And it's about having true happiness, joy, which doesn't come from anywhere except through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Comes from the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, for he who serves Christ in these things is what? Acceptable to God and approved by man. God accepts you, but you are also approved by man because you represent God right. You walk before man right. God gets all the glory and honor through you. Amen? Everything that you do brings glory and honor to Him. So you are therefore acceptable to God, and you are also approved by men. Don't be just acceptable to God and not approved by men. A lot of us are walking like that. Hallelujah. So we see that the kingdom of God is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom functions under the authority of the church. Who is the church? You, my friends, sitting here right now, right here today. You are the church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the person that carries the Holy Ghost. Amen? God built His house on His earth on through you. So the kingdom functions under the authority of the church. Who is the church? You and I. So the kingdom of God is not a religion. Got to get that out of your head. I came from religion. That's why I am so against religion. Because religion has driven me and blinded me and destroyed my life. Hallelujah. But I'm set free now because I know where I came from. I know who I am in Christ. And I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. It is literally a country. You got to understand that because the Bible calls us a citizen of this very country. The earth is God's footstool. It's the colony of heaven. God created it so that He can colonize it by putting you and I, man who is human being, who is what? Body and spirit on earth. God created it to colonize it with the kingdom influence of heaven. That's what Jesus had prayed, that whatever is in heaven happens down here on earth. We are the ones that are supposed to reveal heaven on earth by placing man filled with the Holy Spirit on earth to influence and dominate. The earth does not belong to man. Hallelujah. Our constitution tells us in section Psalm, article 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell in it. The earth still belongs to God. Hallelujah. We are caretakers of this amazing planet that you and I are living on right now. So the earth is God's property. But God lost it, all the influence over it, when the influencer, who is the Holy Ghost, left. I'm just introducing my key message this morning, because I want to pray. After this message, I want to land on you and I want to pray. Because I'm a person of practical application. I believe the Word of God. What the Word of God says, I must do it. And I must allow the Holy Spirit to do its work. Because I can't change nobody. I know the Holy Spirit will do it. And so man decided to disobey, disconnect himself from God. Man wanted to become independent from God. Man wanted to become away from God. Man doesn't want heaven to influence or have control over him anymore. Man became his own authority. Hallelujah. That is why man is so dumb. Because man's trying to teach himself to live on this earth. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. And I respect your doctorates of education, and I respect your philosophers and your certificate of this and the degree of that. But you know what? That just gets you, that allows you to go and get a job. It doesn't teach you life. Hallelujah. You can have all the knowledge, get education as much as you can. That doesn't help you live life. That helps you to get a job, get a promotion, but it doesn't help you to live life. And that is the problem on earth today. Man is dumb because he has become his own teacher. I respect all the education system that is on this earth, but there is one that teaches us life. That is the constitution of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That is why anybody that comes from a corruptible seed is corruptible. Humans cannot produce righteous babies. We cannot. We're all born into sin. All of our children are born into sin. We cannot produce righteous babies. Romans chapter 2, verse 23. It says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Oh, thank God for his blood. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the Calvary. Thank God. But listen, all that is just means to an end to get you into the kingdom. That is why for God to save the world, he couldn't come to earth and find someone on earth. He had to send someone from heaven, the country that you and I belong to, outside into the earth. Hallelujah. Why? Because you cannot produce something better than yourself from yourself. If you yourself needed help with corruption, hallelujah. We cannot help ourselves. We have corruptible seeds, so we cannot produce righteous seeds. Sinful man cannot produce righteous babies, as I've said before. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the most important person on earth. And secondly, the most important thing that man lost was the kingdom, was the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God says, I cannot use a male man to produce this seed for me. I cannot use that. So he comes himself to make everything right for us. Genesis chapter 1. God gave us a mandate found in our constitution. In Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all earth and every creeping thing that creeps on earth. And when you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot function the way the kingdom requires you to function. Somebody say amen to that. I used to be like that. I functioned in a way that the kingdom wasn't even recognized in my behavior. And so we created this religion that is searching for this very thing that we lost. Man lost. Man was given a job to make earth become a heaven, become like heaven. And in order for man to do that, man had to have living in him, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit today. Then we're going to do some practical things about it. The house that God built for himself on earth is your body. Your body is the house of the Holy Spirit. You're the only legal person on earth, legal alien on earth. No spirit. That's why spirits are illegal on earth. Why? Because God never gave them dominion on earth. God gave you, a human with a vessel, with a spirit inside, to have dominion over earth. So don't mess around with demons when they're around, because they're liars and you can't believe them. When you pray for somebody, don't question who are you, what's in there, how many of you are in there. He's a liar. He'll keep telling you lies. Just tell him to get out. Illegal alien, out. You don't have any rights whatsoever on this earth. I am the one that was given what? The keys of authority and dominion over this place. So you are illegal, out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't be so religious about these spirits. You are the only legal alien on this earth, given authority by God. That's why you operate. It's a practical application of what God has told us. That makes every demonic spirit in the physical body illegal. When you pray for somebody and he's possessed, just say, out in Jesus' name, you are illegal. Hallelujah. And when you declare independence through your forefather, Adam, the Holy Ghost left. When we declare independence through the spirit of our forefathers, Adam, the Holy Ghost will never be where you are. The moment you declare independence, the Holy Ghost lives. He is the governor of the country of heaven you and I live in. And he lives in the government house, which is your body. Hallelujah. And when you declare independence from him, he left. Because he's got nothing to do on earth because you became independent. Which means the only person missing on earth is the Holy Spirit. Which means the only work, watch me now, of Jesus is to get the Holy Spirit back on earth. That's his number one mandate. The cross, Calvary, the blood, all these are great, but they are just means to an end of what really is God's mandate, and is to bring the Holy Ghost back onto this earth through us, you and I, living on this earth today. Hallelujah. The works of the cross. That's why I say it is finished. Don't worry about that anymore. It's done. Finish. Remember it. Celebrate it. But move on, because you have now been filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because of that finished work of the cross. The blood, the cross, the Calvary. It's a means to an end. Because you cannot bring heaven to earth if you are out of touch with heaven. So God, the Holy Ghost back. So that we get in touch with heaven again. You got to understand this. If you understand this and pick this up this morning, you will never run to a pastor ever again. Hallelujah. Because the same Holy Ghost that lives inside of the pastor lives inside of you as well. Hallelujah. Religion controls you and makes you go to somebody that says he represents God for you to go and repent from your sins. God has made a way. Hallelujah. There is no other way except through the blood of Jesus and the cross. It's already been made for you. And get this message this morning so that you don't have to ring up the pastor every time there is a problem. I will help you because that's my job. But I want to teach you to become the same person. You can focus on the Holy Spirit. I cannot change you or save you or do anything in your life. I made the decision and paid the price to be able to walk in that place. And so I'm requiring you, and God is requiring all of us to be able to walk like that. Hallelujah. The solution to the world's problem is the Holy Spirit. That is why we cannot solve our crime problems. That is why we cannot solve broken home problems. Hallelujah. And then the government puts mandates, and the government's full of unrighteous people and unrighteous men and women that are making unrighteous laws, and they're trying to save and solve the problems of this earth. Hallelujah. The earth doesn't need anything except the Holy Ghost. Our problem is this, and we are still trying to solve the problem with government programs. And the programs are created by unrighteous men and women. Don't you ever think the government is going to help solve your problem? Don't you ever think that the government is going to help solve your problem? If you think like that, you're going to have a lot of difficulty as the years move on, as the season move on. You're going to have a lot of problems and you're going to be disappointed because you've placed your trust in something that is not righteous. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall have what? Eternal life. Your belief gives you the fighting chance to still come to God, as I spoke about it last week. He that believeth not in me is already what? Damned. There is no hope for you if you don't reconnect to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Every man is searching for the Holy Spirit. And everything you are trying to find, what you lost, and we try to fill this void with what? Sex and drugs and alcohol and all these things. We go from disco to disco to disco, and then we are at home with a headache, and we still haven't found anything. Hallelujah. And we have one wife and 10 concubines, and still we're not happy. I better stop. I better not say anything anymore. I'm just talking about the practical, real life problems that are inside the society that you and I live in. Hallelujah. And when we get it, we are still empty because that is not what we lost. Every man is looking for something he lost. And he can't find it in a disco or a discotheque or some alcohol bar place or some drugs or some whatever you want to call it. You don't find satisfaction in those places because you never lost it anyway, the first place. The only thing you lost is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That is why we have the realities of life where rich people are depressed, poor people are depressed twice, hallelujah. I better stop. I'm just sharing some little things that we have now. We got folks. You know, that used to be my life. How many of you used to live like that? Praise the Lord, some truth at last in this church. I thought I was the only one putting my hands up. Hallelujah. Everything that I was going to be saying today, and I got a long list of it, that was my life. Until I found what I was looking for, what I lost. And that is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus for the Holy Spirit. What you are missing is not what you have been going after. You are missing the Holy Spirit. The greatest problem God made, greatest promise God ever made to man was the coming of the Holy Spirit, because that was what man lost. The ultimate goal of Jesus was not Calvary. Hello, somebody. Don't you start throwing stones at me. Listen to me very carefully. The ultimate goal of Jesus was not Calvary. Was not dying on the cross. That was not his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal was to get the Holy Ghost back into every human being on this earth. That includes the Buddhist, the Muslims, the prostitute down the road, all the other religion that is still looking for him, those that are worshiping idols, that's all of them together. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, all. Hallelujah. It is not for those who are elites in the kingdom or just for you Pentecostals. It's for everybody. It is hallelujah. All flesh is going to receive the Holy Ghost. That was his ultimate goal. Prophet Joel said, "Is coming, and he shall give you a sign." Hallelujah. And Prophet Joel saw something that didn't make sense at the time when he prophesied. He was probably prophesying and saying, "What am I saying?" Because that's impossible in the time and place that Joel was living at the time, because religion was destroying people at the time. So when Joel opened his mouth to speak, he was probably saying, man, this is do or die. I'm saying something that has never been said ever before. But he heard it from the Holy Ghost. And Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, it says, and it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then he says, your sons and your daughters, say it loud, daughters, shall prophesy. Prophesy, I am prophesying right now. Prophesying means speaking the word of God. Hallelujah. People think of prophecy, you need to be so special to be able to speak prophetical words. No. I am prophesying right now. Hallelujah. Shall prophesy, your old man shall dream dreams, your young man shall see visions, and also my maidservants and on my manservants and on my maidservants. Maidservants and manservants mean slaves in the time of Joel. So that means everybody who is looked down in society will also receive that same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Everybody. And it goes, you sitting here right now, you can receive this Holy Spirit right now. Because I know you carry the well, but you need the river. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That is incredible prophecy. Why was it unbelievable? Because in the days of Joel, they would stone him for saying things like that. How dare you? How dare you say things like that? That's not even in our Torah or our law. How dare you say things like that? Women prophesying? And we have this kind of stupidity in church today, stopping women from preaching. I better stop because I'm going to another subject. Oh, I got some good words for that too. It is incredible because Joel was seen as blasphemy. How dare you say things like that? It is incredible because in the days of Joel, only the persons known to have the Holy Spirit upon them, not in them, read the Bible carefully, the Holy Ghost comes upon them, not inside of them. The only people that have that are what? Prophets, judges, priests. Because when the priest goes to minister, the Holy Ghost comes off him. When the prophet stands to speak, the Holy Ghost comes upon him. Samson was one of those ones. When the Holy Ghost came upon him, he started to shake and become so strong that he started to rip everybody apart. And when the Holy Ghost left, it's just a nice young fellow sitting down sipping a cup of tea. A biscuit. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit will transform anybody. And so prophets and judges like Samson, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Obadiah, all these amazing prophets, when they speak, the Holy Ghost comes upon them first, and then they speak. In other words, the common people would not even dare think that they could have the same spirit. Joel stood up and he said, there comes a time, there comes a day when God, hallelujah, will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. That's including those that you look down in society. They too will receive that Holy Ghost. Especially women. Somebody say amen. All the women say amen. Yeah. Come on, wave your hands and wave it to God and say, amen, God, thank you that I can preach the word, that I can prophesy, that I can be in ministry. Hallelujah. You know, the first woman that Jesus came across was a woman at the well and made her become one of the powerful, most powerful evangelists. He went in and the whole town got saved. Hallelujah. Oh, I better stop again. I got some words for people that talk like that. And here comes Joel saying, I see a day when God is going to destroy all your theology, all your religious mentality and ideas and what you think and your doctrines. God is going to destroy all that and pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to ignore gender. Because the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are what? All in Christ, one in Christ, Jesus, one in the Spirit. You can, my sisters and mothers and aunties, preach the gospel. You can stand and prophesy. You can do all that because the Holy Ghost is in you. Hallelujah. And Jesus made the way so that you are able to do it. Jesus met the woman at the well and turned her into an evangelist. Just come and see a man, a real man that doesn't beat me up, that doesn't go and sleep around behind my back. Come and meet a man that is a real man that doesn't hit me and my children. Come and meet a man that is powerful, a real man that doesn't sleep around with women, a real man that looks after his family. Come and meet. Oh, hallelujah. And that's Jesus. And that's the same Spirit that lives inside of you. I am so excited because I know when you speak like that to your people, when you get it, you will be the most dangerous person. I'm telling you, nothing will stop you from saying what God is going to call you to go and say. Jesus was the only person filled with the Holy Spirit. I said that last week. And he was limited to where he can go. He can't be at two places at the same time. Listen to me very carefully. He couldn't be at two different spots or places at the same time. When you read the Bible, it says when somebody was sick, they had to send word to Jesus, and Jesus had to depart from where he is and go down to where the sick person is and heal him or her. When the woman was crying out, "My daughter is dying," Jesus went over there. He went. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. None of them on this earth have received the Holy Spirit. Only one person, Jesus, filled to the brim, I should say, with the Holy Spirit. When Lazarus' sister said, "Jesus, come, your friend Lazarus is dying." By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus was dead. But I thank God that Jesus had the power to raise him up. But can you see the picture? Can you see the physical Jesus with the physical Holy Ghost inside of him that cannot be at two places at the same time? Or when you get this message, you'll never ring a pastor ever again. Some of you are just sitting going, "I wish Jesus would come back already." No, 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 no. He is giving you a mandate. We have a mandate to complete. Hallelujah. A man named Jairus came and fell at his feet and says, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and leave." And verse 24 says, "So Jesus went with him." When Jesus said he was leaving, his disciples became depressed. Just like many of you who are depressed because you just can't wait for him to come back. Hello, somebody. Jesus says, "Why are you depressed?" John chapter 16, verse 5 to 7, it says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going?" Because every time he was there walking away, he says, "Where are you going? I'm going to heal that person." "Oh, we're coming too." But when he says he was going away, they went, "What? You're going away now? What's going to happen to us?" "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." In other words, Jesus is saying to his disciples, "Guys, you are depressed because you're so used to my physical body being here. That's why you're depressed." But he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is in your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The Holy Ghost will be not trapped in one body anymore. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, see, why did he come in the first place? He came to clean you and I up. The work of the cross is solely to clean the vessel up. He says, "Hang on a minute, I'm coming down here. I've got some detergent to clean this vessel up so that when I go, then the Holy Ghost can come and live inside of you. Not over you anymore, like the prophets of the old and the judges of the old and people that of the old were not cleaned by the blood yet. Jesus died. Hallelujah. You and I are privileged because we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us right now. Same Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, "You will do greater works when I go away." Why? Because now it's not going to be in this little land of in Israel, in Palestine. It's going to be China and England and Australia and Bougainville and anywhere the Holy Ghost is going to be there. Why? Because it's in you, living inside of you. Hallelujah. He released it when he was on the cross. Jesus talked all the way to the cross. He felt no pain. He said, "You cannot take my life. I lay my life down myself." So when he released the Holy Ghost, he said, "It is finished." From the cross to his death, he was talking. Talking, making sure that everything is complete before he leaves. And when he said it is finished, says, "Holy Ghost, they are now clean. The blood that's running from this cross has cleaned them all." He says, "Now you go and live inside of them." Hallelujah. When he breathed upon the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," they received the well, born again. Hallelujah. Nicodemus came to him one time and says, how do you get into this kingdom? Jesus said, aha, come here. You have to be what? Born again in the spirit and in water. He says, why? Because this spirit inside of you belongs to Jesus. And it needs to be what? Restored clean to make sure that you are able to walk again in the place that Adam used to walk. That you can receive the governor again who you have seen and he's left, now, but now he's back. Hallelujah. When Jesus said he was leaving, and he was excited about it because he knew that when he goes, Holy Spirit is going to come. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 16 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray, and the Father, and he will give you another. He may abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and then he says, and will be in you. My friends, you carry the most powerful person living inside of you today. John chapter 14, verse 23 says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus said, I'm back. I'm back by the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. My friends, you as a believer are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And you are not crazy when you're speaking in tongues. You are very sensible. And we are going to learn about this morning. I'm going to illustrate something very practical. The gift of the Spirit is so literal and practical that we spook it up too much. We make it all become spooky and woo. No, it is literally what God wants you to have. I'm going to ask two beautiful people to come and help me deliver this message. One of the greatest gifts that God gave man is the gift of speech. Why are tongues then the most prominent release in baptism? Why was tongues the first thing to show up? Because one of the greatest gifts that God gave man is the gift of speech. Amen? Dogs can talk. Birds can talk. Cats can talk. Even cows can talk. Snakes can talk, except devil who actually put himself inside a body, flesh, and spoke out of the animal. But the animal itself cannot talk. But you get a man and a woman in the midst and they talk. That's a gift from God. Language is spirit. It's a gift from God. Amen? Hallelujah. So you and I can stand there, or a man and a woman can say, hey, you know, I really like you. Talking. But I'm going to just bring this very thing very practically. Secondly, speech is the most accessible element of expression. Some of us, we receive, when the Holy Ghost is upon us, we weep, we cry, we sing, we do whatever. But the speech is one of the most accessible element of expression. How do you express yourself? By talking. Not sign language. You talk to somebody. Secondly, you talk by using speech. Have you ever seen a dumb person try to talk? Auntie. And when she's talking to me, she thinks I'm understanding her. She's talking. But she knows what he's saying to me. But I can understand her. So she's using feet and legs and everything just to get the information to me. Have you met a dumb person before? They talk, and they talk, really literally talk to you. They know what they're saying to you. They can't get it out, but they know. But you just got to discern it and get it. You know what I'm saying? For us who can talk, we just stand there and use our lips. Well, your inner spirit has a language. And that language, only your home country is heaven, can understand that. I told you, get this. It'll be sharp in your spirit. I want these two beautiful people to come. Mom Evelyn and Jenny, come. I'm going to show you something really practical. This is a little bit of a teaching. So you have an idea. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But I'll come to that scripture very soon. I want you to speak something. Say the Lord's Prayer in your language. Just a little bit of it. Say to the people.
Amen. Thank God. I'm going to pray for you. 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 Kondu ba embam na impionye. Ore akore kala embakara kalyen. Inek.
Powerful. Did you understand that? How good is God, eh? Now, Evelyn is from Anger. Let me just finish that before, because I want to hear Jenny speak. Jenny.
Ama namin, sumasalangit ka. Sambahin ang ngalan mo. Mapasa amin ang kaharian mo. Sundin yung loob mo dito sa lupa para lang sa langit. Patawarin mo kami sa aming mga pagkakasala para lang pagpapatawad namin sa nagkakasala sa amin.
Hallelujah. That sounds powerful. It's the Lord's Prayer. Now, did you understand them? Now, just because you don't understand them, does it make the language invalid? No. Now, who understands them? When Evelyn wants to talk, wants to call home, he picks up the phone. She picks up the phone and speaks in a language to a home country where she belongs. Only the people in that place will understand her. She is here on Australia speaking English, another foreign language. But when she wants to go home and talk to home and bring something from home, hallelujah, she speaks in her language. Same as Jenny. When Jenny rings the Philippines, she doesn't speak in English. It goes straight into the language, beautiful language that she just spoke. Why? Because the home language, the home people understands her. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. And we have our language. Only the Spirit understands that language. So thus, if you don't understand them, doesn't mean that the language is invalid. If you don't understand tongues, it doesn't mean tongues is invalid. Hallelujah. The Spirit, what you're speaking. When you want to directly talk to home country, you speak in tongues. Hallelujah. In the language of the Spirit. Why? Speak what you're saying. That is the simplicity of speaking in tongues. That's the only way I can explain it. So if you don't have it, don't knock it. Don't say, oh, I don't believe it. No, because you don't have it, shut up. Pass, come after it and get it. Don't knock people who are talking in tongues and speaking in tongues and operating in the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Desire for it and come and get it. Don't stand there and throw stones at people and go, oh, you know, I don't believe in that stuff. And no, shut up. You might blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But be careful. Hallelujah. Thank you. Did you get that? Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul was bragging a little bit because some people were going around forbidding people to speak in tongues, telling them that's from the devil. Listen to me. Listen very carefully. This church is different. We apply the word of God in our lives. Paul says, speak it unto God, not unto man. The mind won't understand it, but the Spirit does. So, is tongues necessary? Yes. Has tongues been done away with? No. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And a lot of people read this out of context and then they say, oh yeah, the tongues shall cease and the prophecy shall cease and it doesn't happen anymore because, you know, that was for the apostles. Oh, I better stop because I say something. I agree with the Bible. They will cease. So why don't we read the Bible carefully and get the right context so we stop robbing ourselves of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. It says, love never fails. What is love? Love is a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit that lives inside of you, that grows. It doesn't fail. It stays there. He says, that's the greatest. Love never fails. But whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, what perfect has come? When Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. It says, but when, vanish away. For we know in part that we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be what? Done away. Hallelujah. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. He says, now we see it in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face, when you face Jesus, hallelujah, things change. That was what Paul was saying. Now, what Paul was saying is listing all the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, the gift of the Spirit is given to the church because the church is not perfect yet. We need the gifts in the church. We need prophecy. We need gifts of healing. We need tongues and interpretation of tongues. We need the gift of faith. We need them on the colony earth. We don't need them when we get to heaven. But we need them here. Right now, right here, we need them. Because the church can't function without those gifts inside the church. I'm speaking to you because most of you have this gift sitting here. It's sitting inside dormant. And this morning we're going to pray that those gifts start to bubble up and you become a person that's going to start using your gift in this church. I'm just a big orchestra conductor, conducting your gifts in the church, making sure that it's operated properly in the covering of the church. You're released to go and do great works in Christ Jesus using the gifts that is already in you. We need the gift of faith, the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. But we don't need them in heaven because you don't have sickness in heaven. It says those things will cease when we get to heaven because you don't need to prophesy anymore. You don't need all this stuff anymore. But you still need the fruits, love. And love functions inside the kingdom of God. Faith, love, peace, and joy. Those are fruits inside your life. You don't need the gifts of miracles in heaven because there is nobody lame there. You don't need tongues in heaven because everyone will understand you there. We don't need prophecies in heaven because we will meet the real prophet. Hallelujah. Verse 12, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying to Paul, when we meet face to face, then prophecies will cease. All the gifts can cease because we are home. We are home now. Hallelujah. But right now, we need the gifts of healing because the devil is still putting diseases in people. We need the gifts of miracle because the devil is still at work. We need the gifts of prophecy because the Bible tells us there are many voices. And you've got to hear the right voice to understand if it's from the Spirit. We need all that to function inside the church. Otherwise, there's no point. Hallelujah. So people that are saying those gifts have gone and it ceases with the apostles, that's another sermon. Hallelujah. Don't tell me it left. By the way, if you believe it left, then read all the verse. Verse 8, read in the Bible. It says the prophecies shall cease, tongues shall cease, and knowledge shall all vanish. That means we are supposed to be dumb and stupid in church? If that ceases, Are we supposed to be unlearned and stupid and dumb in church, doing foolish things inside the church? Those things keep us in line. How can you say it ceases and then you are still trying to do church? At the church of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that same Jesus is operating by the power of the Spirit inside you today. If we don't have these gifts, you might as well shut it down and create a nightclub. I'm serious. I went to Europe and I saw all these amazing stained glass churches, beautifully built for worship. Now they're using it for arts and live music. And I played in one of those things and I'm thinking, that used to be a church. This is what happens when we take all these things out of the church and say they've ceased and not practicing them inside anymore. Because the Holy Ghost is here to do that. He's here to empower you so that you can still operate in those gifts. That is so important for our church. Don't ever listen to anybody who says, oh, that's ceased. No, you don't. That's why there's no power in the church, because people have succumbed to that stupidity. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, say amen to that. Louder. That means you agree. Agree. Hallelujah. People say, oh, you know, no, and listen to this. It says, and knowledge shall vanish away. You know, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, 12 verse 4, it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge what shall increase. Praise and knowledge increase. Devil comes, God lifts everything up. You start to operate in knowledge and wisdom and discerning things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. My friends, I want to close by saying this. God is limited to our believing. And if we believe halfway, God can't go beyond the halfway you're believing. I'm serious. When you hear something like that, say, God, I'm going to go and get what belongs to me, rightfully belongs to me, so that I can empower myself and not be a slave to those things that are causing me to sin every day of my life. See, we have no sin problem. You know why? Because God took care of that sin. But we have a sinning problem. Sinning every day. Walking in sin every day. So, we need the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us from those things. God has already done His work. Now He's placed the Holy Ghost inside of us. You are what? The source of the living water. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Until and unless we take the Word of God seriously and literally, we cannot move in the glory of God consistently and permanently. If you take these things casually, you will never see the glory of God or see the manifestation of the power of God. Casual Christianity? God says, go on, live your casual Christianity. But you will get whooped by the enemy every time. That's why you need that fire inside of you to keep you going. We take the Holy Spirit very casually. And because of that, the church, instead of moving from glory to glory, we go around in circles with Christians who are forever seeking for deliverance continuously. We gotta stop. We gotta stop this and teach people to receive the truth of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. I'm saying these things this morning because I want you to have and understand that this person called the Holy Ghost will do everything. You talk to him like you talk to anybody. Casually driving, hey, good morning, Holy Spirit, how are you? No? When you're amongst people and you don't want to listen to them, just go in your language. Spirit language. Hallelujah. Sometimes I pray and I lose a lot. I can't have the words to pray anymore. I just go into the Spirit. Hallelujah. I pray this church will be different. That we are going to take the Holy Spirit seriously and allow Him to move. We become influence in this city and empower others with the Holy Spirit. I am Seriously, let's all believe together, saying, God, I want to have this. This morning, I believe that I need to have this. I need to just refresh myself again. And this well inside of me becomes a river of living waters again. Hallelujah. That's what God wants for you and I. You can walk in power and become overcomers. Hallelujah. Let me just give you the scripture and I will make an altar call because I want to pray for you. I believe in the power of laying of hands, releasing something in you, releasing the power of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 7 verse 37 says, on the last day and the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. But he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. But the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14 says, Jesus answered and said to her, anyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. And he says, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up eternal life. Hallelujah. When you're born again, you receive the well. But if you thirst, he will give you the river. He'll cause this well to become a flowing river inside of you. That will be enable you to stand and go before any man, any devil, any demon that believe that, and become an overcomer in the kingdom of God. That also helps you to walk in holiness and righteousness, because the conviction of the Holy Spirit is strong in your life. And the more stronger the conviction is, the more you will walk blameless before God. The more you will make decisions that are right for God. Hallelujah. It is important for us that we must understand that I want this church to become a church of influences. You don't let other people influence you. You influence them. Why? You have the rivers of living water inside of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jason. I'm going to ask Pastor Jason to just play the piano, because I believe there was a beautiful presence of God this morning. But I want to pray. There are gifts inside this church that needs to be released. There are some people passionate for doing something. There's something in your heart that you want to do. And you're sitting there going, God, I need some power to be able to do that. I need confidence enough to be able to do that. You're trying to speak to your family, but you're finding it hard to preach the gospel. Well, you have the well. Let the Holy Ghost give you some river. Hallelujah. Let the fire of God come upon you this morning. Enable you to be able to stand and speak truth in your brother, your sister, or your family, or your neighbor, your boss even. Hallelujah. I want you to stand up. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to, if you are hungry, and if you are passionate, to stir up the gift inside your life. If you're tired of the enemy kicking you around, come. I don't like giving messages to people and telling them to go and leave it. Empowering them here so that they can be able to go and do it. I believe in the scriptures. I believe in the laying of hands. Hallelujah. I believe in laying of hands on people. Numbers chapter 27 verse 18, God instructs Moses to lay his hands on Joshua to commission him formally as the new leader of the nation. Jesus and his disciples, when he came to the Gospels and the book of Acts, we find that Jesus is a person that always goes around laying hands on people. Jesus lays his hands on people to bless and to heal. Jesus' most common practice in healing is touch, often described as laying his hands on them, the one to be healed. You find them in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, Mark chapter 5, verse 26, and all beautiful scriptures of Jesus laying hands. In the Acts, once Jesus has ascended into heaven, his apostles, in effect, become his hands. Jesus said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. same spirit is in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him for a little bit. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jason.